So I remember there's one time in college, I never went camping before, and so it was actually around this time, it was in November, we decided to go camping. And it was my first time, and we had a bunch of my friends, and we went, and, you know, we went to a park, we pitched a tent, cooked food, and it was a lot of fun. It was really neat experience for me. It was the first and only time I've been camping, and, you know, and it was just a lot of fun. I remember that we built a fire. We played a lot with various different things. We lit a lot of fires. We probably did things that probably weren't smart, like So I was like, it's all right. So you know, what we did that night, we pitched our tent, we cooked dinner, and it was just great. Next morning, you know, we cooked breakfast, and then we decided, like, well, what are we going to do? We've been here all night. We don't have to do this. So we decided to start, like, exploring. And so a group of us, we started walking around and started exploring, like, this park. And it's just, like, you know, this big natural area. I don't even know what it is. But anyhow, we went and we found this a lake. And there's this lake that's just there. And I guess there's about this cliff. But, I mean, not too high, but it's high enough, maybe like 12, 15 feet, okay? And so, you know, when you are young, you do things that you'll never do when you get older, like, hey, there's a body of water, and it is a little chilly outside, but, you know, what the heck? Let's get into it, right? Like, we didn't prepare for it. None of us had, I didn't have my swimming trunks or anything, but we're just like, hey, there's water. This is cool. Let's go for a swim. And so, We stood there at this cliff, and none of us had really been there before, so we don't know anything about this body of water. And so we're going, you know what, we should just jump into it. So we're looking there, and I'm sitting there debating if I should jump into it. And I'm like the first person, and I'm like, I can walk around this trail all the way down, and I can just like walk into the water, or I can just jump in. And I was thinking, I was like, man, it's just... It's like a hassle, you know, I have to walk all the way around, and when it's just a straight, you know, it's not a straight drop down, it's not too bad. So I sat there and I thought about it, and it's just one of those things, you know, sometimes sometimes you have like these, you like relive certain things, and you go, oh, man, I know that decision was like a toss-up, was like a 50-50, if I made the other choice, I'd be like dead by now, like those type of choices. Where sometimes I look back on it and I go, man, I was really close to jumping. And so finally I didn't jump. I walked in and the water came up to like here. And it was a rock on the bottom. And then there's a little divot that goes. So I'm going, I wonder how much stuff I would have broken if I jumped, right? And so I was looking at it and I go, And I think back on it, and as I was, like, preparing for this message, I thought back on it, like, I mean, would I have, like, been paralyzed? Like, what would have happened? And I think about that, I was like, I know. I was like, you know, sometimes they're like, I forget it, just jump. And I was, like, that close to it, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I look back and I go, that is so stupid. You know, like, what a dumb way. Like, how can I live like that? And as dangerous as that might have been, as gracious as God has been to me, that I'm still standing here alive today, because there's many decisions throughout my life where I am making a string of very smart decisions, and I know it wasn't me type of thing. Like, you know. And so there's also another way. There's more dangerous things a lot of us take gambles on. And there's actually very dangerous ways to live for us as well. And one of the most dangerous ways for us to live is the rejecting and the rejection of God's commandments. And rejecting God's commandments is a very dangerous way to live. It's so dangerous, it's like you're playing Russian roulette with a loaded gun. There is no way you can win this game. And we are in Exodus. And we are in the midst of studying and looking through these plagues that Yahweh God has been plaguing the nation of Egypt with. Because of Pharaoh, their king, constantly rejecting God's commandments. And as we're seeing, God is slowly turning up the heat a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and just showing Pharaoh, your constant rejection is a very dangerous way to live. And we are now starting to hit the end of these plagues, and these last few plagues, you're starting to see that there are human lives now at stake. Before, these plagues were maybe a mere annoyance, frustrating. See, I don't have water anymore because it's now turned into blood. Very frustrating, very annoying. There's gnats everywhere, there's flies everywhere, there's frogs everywhere. It's just like, this is just annoying, frustrating, right? My animals are now dead. This is not good. But now we're starting to see, that it is moving from mere frustration and annoyances to lives at stake. And the rejection of God's commandments will always be a dangerous way to live. So we are in Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13. And so if you have a Bible, turn over there. And I'll start reading from verse 13. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself, and on your servants, and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people, and I will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause a very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore get your livestock and all that you have been in the field into safe shelter. For every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field." And so we're seeing first here, I wanted to look at three different dangers that we, a lot of time, will take risk in. Now, overall, we know rejecting God's commandments is a very dangerous way to live. But this first one we can see is there is a danger. The very first danger we see is ignoring God's word. The first danger we see is ignoring God's word. So here we see Moses come back to Pharaoh. This is pretty much the eighth time that he's come to Pharaoh. Right? The first time Pharaoh increases straw, the second time he comes to Pharaoh, he turns his staff into a snake, and then we got six plagues that went through, right? So this is the eighth time Pharaoh has heard this. And so here we have Moses comes up to him and for the first time kind of goes, "This is why all this is happening." And actually there is great mercy being seen here. There's great mercy because Moses goes, "You know what? God could have just took the easy way out here, you know? Could have just wiped you and your Egyptians just off the face of this earth. Done. Why even mess with the plagues, right? You're gone. All be gone. You know, the Israelites can wake up the next day. It's like, where did everybody go? Cool. All right, let's get out of here, right? And so, but he goes, I am raising you up for this purpose that you may know my power, that you may know me. And he goes, I am, and he's like, look at this. Chance after chance after chance after chance to repent. Has given Pharaoh chance after chance after chance. He didn't have to do any of that. He could have just killed him, but he's given him all these chances. And he goes, Pharaoh, this is what's going to happen. All right, you're still not listening to me. And here comes the seventh plague. It's going to be hail. Hail that you have never, ever seen. In the 2,000 plus years of the existence of your country, you've never seen hail like this before. Now, I don't know how big this hail is, but I'm talking about, like, even in our modern time, I went and, like, looked on YouTube. Like, you know, they have, like, softball-sized hail. So, a softball's made of, you know, grapefruit-sized hail falling from the sky. So, I can only imagine that this hail is no ordinary hail. Because he says, anybody, any livestock, any person left outside will die. But here's something that Yahweh does. He hasn't done yet before. He's given the Egyptians an opportunity. He says, but here's the way out. Your crops won't be spared. But bring your livestock in. Bring the people in and stay indoors and your life will be spared. He tells the Egyptians, he gives them a way, he goes, if you obey my word, and we see that, you know, the people, you know, the servants of the Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord, they listened and they brought their livestock in. And he's saying that I've given you my word. If you obey it, your life can still be spared. He goes, now you can't, like, you know, they can't control Pharaoh and Pharaoh's decision. But they had a responsibility for themselves that you can still listen to me, God says. You can still listen to my word. And your life will be spared. And I'm going, that is crazy that he says that you don't have to bear the full consequence of my plague if you hear my word and you listen and obey it. If you listen and obey my word. So it made me start thinking about my life, about ways that, and what are some times that I've you know, received God's word, or just maybe a commandment, or just something that I didn't listen to, all right? And so sat there and I thought for a while, and I couldn't think of anything, right? So I go, I'll use Dana as an example. And so, because Dana was sharing me about a time when she was younger. As many of you know, so Dana's my wife. She is a wonderful, wonderful person. I love her dearly. And I love her personality because her personality is a very strong-willed personality, right? And you can see that since she was little. Because when she was younger, she told me she used to watch her mom iron. And her mom would iron clothes. And then she would always tell me that her mom would tell her, don't touch the iron. It's hot. It'll burn you. And so I guess her mom will, you know, like, put the iron away and try to, you know, let it cool down, and she'll put away the clothes and things like that. And so Dana, being a very young girl who always wants to test things out, she's kind of thought about this, right? She's like looking at the iron. Like, I don't know, you know? I really want to touch it. Didn't care about it before, but until you said that not to touch it, just all of a sudden I had this crazy, I want to touch the iron. And she's like, I just want to touch it. She probably debated for a while, because eventually she got to the point, I'm going to touch the iron. Don't touch the iron, okay? So she goes and she touches the iron. Nothing. My mother's a liar, you know? Look at me, full of joy, you know. Iron. So she touches the iron, nothing happens. And so, probably, you know, next time the laundry gets done, mom's ironing, and she puts aside, and kind of like the same thing happens again. She goes, don't touch the iron, the iron's hot. But this time Dana knows, you are a liar. I touched that iron before. Nothing happened to me. I don't know why you withhold the iron touching from me, you know? You evil lady. How dare you withhold the joy of the iron touching, right? So her mom leaves and says, I'll show this lady. I don't know what she did. You know, she goes again. Right? The iron was hot. Because she didn't understand that these cool down, right? And I'm going, what a great example how stupid we are sometimes. And that is what we are like. God has given us His Word. He has given us His Word and goes, trust My Word. My Word brings life. Obey My commandments. It is the better way to live. Not just obey. He's not a God that says, I give you a bunch of laws, I give you a bunch of rules for the sake of following them because I'm this evil, mean, vindictive God. I'm just this controlling man. Don't touch the iron. Ha 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 ha. I have taken the iron away from you. It's not like that. He's saying, don't do that. You'll get burned. You'll get hurt. It's not a good way to live. Bring your livestock inside. Big pieces of ice will fall on your head and kill you and your livestock. But he's not going, you know, bring it in because I just want you to move your livestock around. Ha ha ha. You know, he's going, there is real consequences. There are real consequences in not following me and not listening to my word. Listen. Obey my commandments. Hear my word. But how many of us don't do that? You say, no, you're withholding from me. You're taking good things away from me. Why won't you let me just touch the iron? Why? And we live our life like that. That we know God's word. We know God's word brings life. And we say, no. I'd rather play Russian roulette with the loaded pistol and test my luck here. Why should I listen to you, God? And we see that the servants of Pharaoh, there are two types of people. One, they feared the word of the Lord and they actually brought their life, they listened. And the people in the household, their servants, their livestock were saved. And there was another group of people that said, I'm not going to listen to that. The first six times, fluke, right? Oh, yeah, you know, we get frogs every year. Gnats, you know, flying in my face all the time, you know? They're going, how many times? How many times? Until you understand that my word is trustworthy, my word is worth listening to. But there's an ultimate word of God that He has spoken to us and He's given to us in Scripture. And He says this, He says, I have given you my Son. I've given you my Son. He's come and He lived the life that you should have lived and then He paid the price for sin. And He says, put your trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. Repent of your sins, repent of your wrongdoings, and turn to faith in Him. And when you do that, you have life. You see, God didn't leave us here to just die and waste away. He goes, I've given you an opportunity to have relationship with me again. I've given you opportunity. This relationship will be amended. I've given you opportunity for forgiveness of your sin. I've given you an opportunity to be with me for eternity. oftentimes we look at that. I say, no. I'm not interested. I'd rather leave my livestock out in the field. I'd rather leave myself out in the field and just test my luck. And he says, there will be a day. There is another day coming where you will have to answer. And he's going, there's a hailstorm coming. Come on in. And the question is for us this morning is, what are you going to do about that? You see, for us, as for some of us here this morning, we have heard that news before and we've trusted it. But so many times it's like we moved away from it and we've forgotten that the gospel is the beginning, the middle, and the end, and everything in our life. That we should always remember and always look upon what God has done for us. And that should be the first and foremost thing in our hearts. And we forget. And we forget what God has done, and we just kind of moved on from that. And this guy's going, remember, trust my word. Trust my word. Some of us this morning, we have not yet trusted. And the plea this morning, is, there is, it's coming. And it's not like this, we're not talking, just going, this is inevitable. This is coming. The question is, will you listen and will you obey God's word? Will you respond to Him? Those who fear the Lord, those who have feared the word of the Lord, since they were saved, God has given us an opportunity. Every single moment, God has given us an opportunity. He says, lay down your life. Follow me. I'll give you new life. Will we listen? Or will we continue to harden our heart like Pharaoh to God's word? Because when we don't listen, it is a very dangerous way to live. Let's keep on looking. Let's keep on reading. This is verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as had never been in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant on the field of the field and broke every tree in the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go. I'll let you go. Okay, you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord. Flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again, and hardened his heart. And his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. All right, so it happens. The hail comes down, just starts pouring down. It's happening. We see lightning, flashing across the sky. We got rain. We got hail. It's destroying everything. People are dying. And you see Pharaoh go, mercy, 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 okay, mercy, okay, okay, alright, okay. I'm sorry, God. We kind of messed up this time. Said, listen to you this time. My bad, God, my bad. I said, brings in Pharaoh. Oh, he brings, Pharaoh brings in Moses, brings in Aaron. He's like, we're sorry. We're sorry. Can you just ask God to please stop? Because this is freaking killing everything, right? We're sorry. And maybe when we, at first glance, when we read this, going, wow, Pharaoh's repenting. Wow, he's actually, he actually sees that he's done wrong against God and he's repenting. And we keep on reading, like, no, not really. Moses goes, I'll stop it. I'll ask God to stop it. But you don't fear God. I know that. So the second danger, we say, well, see what's happening is, the second danger is the danger of false repentance. The danger of false repentance. You see, Pharaoh didn't really repent. He just wanted things to stop. He just wanted the consequences to stop. He didn't realize his sin or what he has done wrong. He just goes, when I do this, this happens. I don't want this to happen. And he goes, I don't like the consequences. I want the consequences to stop. And I'll say whatever it takes for the consequence to stop. Right? It's like when you, I mean, for some of us here this morning, and for, I haven't got there yet, but sometimes, you know, for those with kids, and you sometimes catch your kid doing something wrong, and they're like, I'm sorry, Dad, sorry, Mom, I'm sorry. Right? They're not sorry. They're sorry they just got caught. Like, whoops, I didn't mean to draw on the wall. I'm sorry, you know, my hand, I'm sorry. Sorry, because I don't want to get spanked, you know, I don't want to get grounded. Like, I mean, how many of us, if you heard of a man, you know, like, if you know this guy, like, say this man, married to his wife, starts cheating on his wife. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. Who knows? Whatever. How long? Doesn't matter. He gets called out. He says, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. That was wrong of me. But then, what about if he doesn't stop? What about if he stops and thinks about it constantly? Wishing he can go back to his old life. Wishing he never got caught so he could keep on doing what he was doing. Would you really say that was true repentance? That he was actually really sorry for what he has done? Or is he just going, I just want to avoid the consequences? You see, there's a difference between true repentance and false repentance. There's a difference between going, I don't want the consequence of what I'm doing, versus I don't want to be this person anymore. And Pharaoh is saying, I'll just say whatever it takes to stop the consequences. See, a lot of us this morning, including myself, we've been wrapped up in that sometimes, haven't we? There are some things in your life that you will go, you will constantly confess before God because the consequences are just too great. But very, very rarely will we find somebody lamenting over their sin where there's no consequences. Nobody knows what I think up here. So oftentimes, the sins that come up here or the sins of a heart, no one really laments over that. Because a lot of times we're almost wired to go, I don't want the consequences. I don't want to deal with the sin. See, there's a difference. The difference between true repentance is actually turning away from that sin, going, I don't want that. Not the consequences. I don't want to live like that. I know this is rejecting and going against God. I don't want that. And when you repent. It's a turning away from this and going, I don't want that anymore. And it's turning towards Christ in faith. You can never do one without the other. You can't turn towards Christ in faith without turning away from your sin and repenting, going, this is not what I want anymore. But a lot of times, how we handle and how we handle confession and how we handle repentance is like we're on a diet. Because we go, how long can I hold out till I get it again? You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between going on a diet and a lifestyle change. And when you go on a diet, you're counting down the days before you can have a donut, right? One day, 2 days. It's been a month and a half. I'm going to go get my donut, right? It's just one donut. I can just slip up once, and then I'll go back to again. And that's how we look at sin sometimes. And we go, how long can I go before I slip up? Whoops, I slipped up. It's okay. I'll indulge myself one time, and I'll go back and start counting again. And there's a difference between that and going, I hate my sin, and I want to kill my sin. We want to, a lot of times we just manage it, but we don't kill it. We manage the sin, but we don't kill it. Well, I was listening to a sermon, so this guy, he puts in a way, he puts this in an example much better than me. And it's like, and he was saying, and I'll tweak it a little bit, alright? It's pretty much, if you heard a while back in Siegfried and Roy, right? The two magician people in Las Vegas, they have these tigers. They do all these magician tricks with the tigers, right? And so for a while back, the tiger actually attacks the trainer. And I'm a big Chris Rock fan. Sorry, God. But I love Chris Rock. He's a genius. And he actually gives this thing. Right? He goes, everyone's saying the tiger went crazy. The tiger went crazy. And he goes, you know what? The tiger didn't go crazy. The tiger went tiger. You know when the tiger went crazy? When the tiger was doing all these tricks and he goes, I'm a tiger, I'm crazy. The tiger went tiger. And he goes, here's the thing. Our sin is like that. We want to train our sin. We want to train our sin to do what we want it to do. But we don't want to kill it. You know what I'm saying? And then eventually, that sin's going to snap and going to come back at us. And what God says, he goes, I want you to kill the sin. We actually go, I want this heart change inside right here. Right here. You turn away and go, I don't want that. And I spent this last week like thinking about it, go, God, what are some of the sins that I need to kill in my life? And here's the thing I realized. The small things that I didn't think that really mattered, I realized Christ died for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going, it's not a big deal. He died for it. It is a big deal. When I swelled up with pride about something I did, or when I thought myself bigger than I really am, it wasn't I should have done that, my bad. He died for it. He died for it. There's times when I just kind of like judge a person. Go, man, I can't believe. I mean, even something so stupid as, gosh, what is that person wearing? Christ died for that. You know what I'm saying? Repentance is going, I turn away from my sin and I turn towards Christ. I don't want the sin. I don't want to manage it. I want to kill it. Pharaoh is managing it. He's managing it. He's going, I don't want the consequence. But we're going, it's not about the consequences. There's a danger to this. There's a big danger to this. And I'll just touch on it right away because we're running out of time. There's a big danger to this. The danger is some of us might have bought fire insurance. I'll explain what that means. Fire insurance is going, God, if I say this prayer, I'm saved, right? Just say this prayer. I'm saved. And you live the rest of your life not going, I lament and hate my sin and I've given it on the cross and I turn to Christ. He's going, I said a prayer. Now I have fire insurance. My place in heaven is secure because I said a prayer, because I go to church, because I did this. You know, and it's become a religious, superstitious action, lifestyle. And it's become religious. It's become superstitious because, well, how do you know that you're a believer? Well, I said a prayer. I invited Jesus into my heart, right? And I'm not saying that I'm not doing that. I'm going that you're basing everything on this one thing you did. There is not true repentance. You are just afraid of the consequences, right? Someone told you, if you didn't say this prayer, you're going to hell. And you go, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want the consequence. I'll say whatever you want me to say. And some of us have done that. And not going, this sin is a serious thing. Let's talk about the sin. You go, I just don't want the consequence. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. And some of us have done that. And do you know what the thing is? Do you know who sells fire insurance? Satan. Because fire insurance gives false security for false salvation because it was a false repentance. We're not in the business of selling fire insurance because it gives false hope. We're in the business of going, your sin is terrible, but God is greater. You don't have to be that anymore. That's what we're in the business of. God came to deal with what's in here. That we can turn away from the sin and turn towards Christ. And not let's learn from what Pharaoh did. Don't harden your heart. All right, we'll finish this off. Just go through the last plague. All right, so it stops. And then the Lord says to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them. That you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them. That you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve you. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land, so no one can see the land. And they shall eat whatever is left of your hail. They shall eat whatever every tree of yours that grows in the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and all the Egyptians, as neither your father nor your grandfather have seen for the day they came on earth to this day. Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall you let this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand Egypt is ruined? So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. But which ones are to go? Moses says, we will go with our young and with our old. We will go with our sons and our daughters, with our flock and our herds. We must hold a feast for the Lord. But he, Pharaoh, said to them, the Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go the men among you and serve the Lord, for that is what you're asking. And they're driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so they may come to the land of Egypt, eat every plant in the land, and the hail that is left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land day and all night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. And it keeps on going. We don't have to finish. Pretty much the locust devours every single thing there. And then we see that Pharaoh once again kind of gives his false repentance and stops. And kind of stops there. The last one I want to go through is there's one more danger. It's the danger of prideful negotiation. We see that Pharaoh brings, he hears this thing that the locusts are coming. Locusts are these grasshoppers. And pretty much what's going to happen is they're kind of banking on, we are kind of running out of, like, everything's dead. Our animals are dead. Our grains are dead. But we still have wheat that's holding on to that little glimmer of hope. And the locusts are, like, going to wipe everything off. Literally, they are all going to starve to death if Pharaoh doesn't repent. That's kind of what's happening. And the people, the servants are kind of getting agitated enough where they actually speak against Pharaoh. And they're like, don't you know Egypt is ruined? So Pharaoh brings them back. He goes, all right, so who's going to go? And so Moses says, everybody's going to go. Pharaoh's like, that wasn't our deal. You just said the men. Pharaoh's kind of realized, I don't think, if I let them go, I don't think they're coming back, right? And so he goes, and he goes, no, take it or leave it. The men can go, and that's it. And he leaves. And so Moses is like, cool, bye. And we see what happens is Pharaoh is still trying to negotiate with God. because he thinks he's divine. He thinks he has something that Yahweh wants and he can't get. Right? He's like, I still have this bargaining chip. A lot of us are like that this morning. We bargain with God. We try to negotiate with God. We say to God, if you give me the grades, I will start going to Footprints. God, if you get me to this college, I will keep on going to church. God, if my kids succeed in this way, I will bring them to church. Sometimes we do the flip side, which is probably even worse. My kids' grades suffer, I'm pulling them out of church, God. If you let me have this job, I will start tithing. If you just give me what I want, I'll do this, God. If you don't, I won't. That is dangerous. That is prideful. There is a pride in that going, God, if you give me this, I'll do that. If you let me live in this way, I'll give you that. And I won't say what I think about that. There's a pastor from the 1800s named Charles Spurgeon. He says this about it. He goes, when we're talking about Pharaoh, he goes, forget Pharaoh. Only think of yourself. Let the Lord Jesus himself, with the thorn-crowned head and the pierced hands, stand by your pew and looking right down into your soul, say in his matchless tone of music, the music of the heart of love, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? God says there's no negotiation with me. There's no negotiation with me. Here's the one thing on the table. Surrender your life to me. And I will give me your old life, I'll give you new life. Give me your brokenness and I will mend it. Give me your dreams. Give me your hopes. Give me your ambitions. I'll give you joy. I'll give you satisfaction. I will fill you up. That is the only thing on the table. We do not negotiate. Give me your brokenness. I'll give you my son. Give me your heart. I give you new life. That is the only thing on the table for us this morning. And lastly, on the flip side, the whole time we see the Israelites watching all this unfold, finally their prayers have been answered, huh? They're seeing God at work, being broken out of their slavery and going into freedom. Their oppression is about to be lifted. But before that, the Lord God, he shows Israel and the rest of the world just how powerful he is, just how easy it is for him to free his people. He wants his people to trust him, that he has the power and the plan to do it. For us, let's stop rejecting God's commandments. Let's stop rejecting God's word. Let's stop giving these lip service to God with false repentance. Let's stop trying to negotiate with God. And allow him to fight on your behalf. Allow him to take the reins in your life. Because any other way would just be a dangerous way to live. Let's pray.